Hello, and welcome to Makeshift Stories. Thank you for listening. You can help us out by telling your friends about us or writing a review. Now, open your imagination and take a journey into the improbable as you listen to Makeshift Stories 157, Ken Likely, Accidental Interdimensional Drifter, in Open to Interpretation, read by Mitchell Tu. Ken stood on the sidewalk, gawking at the monstrosity looming over its neighbors, like a pus-filled boil ready to burst. No wonder several people on the block had phoned the city to complain, Ken noted with satisfaction. It was his job to prevent situations like this and fix them. When one slipped through like the infringing Hulk currently shadowing him somehow had. Homes in the area were only allowed to cover 45% of the lot and were restricted to 2 stories in height. Ken didn't need his laser tape measure to figure out the building was oversized. He felt something drip onto his head and looked up to discover a large balcony on the second floor, made of what appeared to be rough-hewn planks jammed into the stone walls jutting aggressively out to overhang the public sidewalk. These days, Ken knew most home exterior finishings were usually plastic or something with a fake veneer. Nothing was real anymore, he lamented, but had to admit, the wood and stone on this thing looked very convincing. But despite the apparent high quality of the materials, the balcony was yet another building code infraction. A second drop of liquid splattered on Ken's forehead. He instinctively wiped at it, found it to be sticky, got grossed out, darted across the street, and was narrowly missed by a popular online store's delivery truck. The driver laid on the horn. Embarrassed, Ken watched the smiley logo on the back disappear around the corner. Generally, Ken never darted across streets in the middle of a block, especially without looking. Where had the truck come from anyway? He should have at least heard it. After his heart settled, he turned to look back. From the other side of the street, he could see the complete facade of the structure, which looked like someone had taken the bottom 2 floors of a medieval Norman castle, lopped the top off, then haphazardly added a 2-story half-timbered Tudor manor house. Wedged into a lot that couldn't quite accommodate it, so the building tended to bulge over the adjacent homes and street. The whole thing was painted a gaudy purple with fluorescent yellow trim. To add insult to injury, the hideousness had been built across the back lane and down 1 lot from his own house, directly behind his neighbor, Leaf Basil. Knowing Leaf, he'd probably like the look, Ken guessed. He hadn't remembered seeing it before, or even seeing it constructed. He knew infill houses went up quickly these days, but he could have sworn it wasn't there yesterday. He looked down at his clipboard to compare the structure in front of him to the drawing on the development permit, which illustrated a rather nondescript, if not outright boring, elevation of a generic-looking 2-story home. He suspected it was one of those plans you could buy off the internet for $10. But whoever built this thing had obviously never looked at the plans they submitted, Ken concluded.
Hey you, Mr. City Man!
Someone yelled in a tone that told Ken he was in for an ugly confrontation. Ken looked up and spotted a figure in the shadows. They were a bit on the short side, and waving at him from the simulated wood balcony on the second floor of the offending structure.
You! Stay right there! I'll be down shortly!
The figure commanded, then disappeared. It was definitely not a request, which was fine with Ken. He was going nowhere until he got to the bottom of this vagrant disregard of the rules. So he planted his feet firmly on the sidewalk and shuffled the papers on his clipboard until the building blueprints were on top. There was audible stomping as someone came down interior stairs. Ken noted the noise and made a mental note to inspect the insulation used. He suspected there was none. Suddenly, the heavy drawbridge-like door slammed down across the sidewalk, creating a tripping hazard. Ken made another entry in the extensive list of building code violations he was accumulating. Out of the shadows, the oddest homeowner Ken had ever seen emerged. He did a double take when the diminutive figure came into the sunlight. The irate homeowner was maybe 4 feet high, if you counted the tips of the gentleman's frizzy orange hair. And if one ignored the orange hair, which Ken had to admit was going to be really hard to do, said person looked as if they had just walked out of a Scandinavian folktale. The house in the background only added to the effect. 1 second, the man was on the other side of the street, pointing an accusing finger at Ken. The next, he was standing beside him, poking Ken in the chest with said finger. Ken swore he hadn't seen the guy move, and weirder yet, Ken was somehow looking up at him.
"Mr. City Inspector," the troll spat out defiantly. "Why are you here? Is it the neighbors complaining again about their pets disappearing? There is nothing wrong here, Mr. City Guy."
The little man's voice suddenly softened, becoming soothing and hypnotic.
"Everything is okay, Mr. City,"
he crooned.
"You want to go back to your cubicle farm and play video games on work time. Now, run along."
Ken found himself mesmerized by the large brown eyes and started to put away his clipboard and pull out the keys for his city car before shaking off the trance by looking at the house. When he finally turned his attention back, he found himself looking down at the man.
"That's worked before. There's something different about you."
The orange-haired little man cursed. Ken regained his composure. Ken cleared his throat. "And who am I talking to? There's no owner name on this development plan, only a company. Ufission Developments." Ken put on his best, "I'm pretty fed up with the situation" face, and flipped through the pages of the plan impatiently.
"My name is Grendel,"
Grendel said indignantly.
"And that's my company, and across the street is my home. Now enough questions. Be gone with you. I'm busy."
Ken looked up from his clipboard and appeared to be looking up at Grendel again. He closed and opened his eyes, and the illusion was gone. Mr. Grendel. Ken leaned over the little guy. He had read somewhere this would help to assert his authority.
"It's just Grendel. There is no mister. That's all I've ever been called. If it's good enough for Thor and Odin, then it's good enough for the likes of you. Mr. City in the bad-fitting suit," he grumbled.
Ken ignored the insult about his clothes. But he had to admit grudgingly, the suit was a little tight these days, and off-the-shelf clothes didn't conform to his evolving, pear-shaped torso anymore. "My name is Likely, Ken Likely, from the City Land Development Department, Approvals and Compliance Division. I've been doing this for 20 years.
"Sorry to hear that. Okay then, Mr. Likely, do you spell that with an extra E?"
Ken nodded.
Interesting. The predictions were right. Okay, then can we just get on with this?"
Grendel began tapping his disproportionately large foot on the pavement, making an irritating clicking sound. "Well, Mr. Grendel, I'm not sure where to begin. There are so many building code violations here, starting with the size. You simply can't fill the entire lot with a building. Then overhang onto the street, for starters. 45% coverage, that's the law. There's not even enough space left over for a single blade of grass."
"Grass? Why are you people so obsessed with grass? You're not planning on eating it, are you? You know, when they recommend greens in your diet, they're not talking about grass. The taste and nutritional value are overrated, in my opinion. Unless you are a goat. Are you a..."
Ken shook his head.
"Well, you don't look like one. And you don't strike me as the type who's obsessed over nutrition.
Ken coughed, then continued. Back to my point, sir. Your structure, I hesitate to call it a house, as built, bears absolutely no resemblance to the plans you submitted.
Surely there's some leeway,
Grendel protested, his foot tapping increasing in intensity.
You know how some things need to change once you get going on a project? Well, my requirements evolved somewhat. Besides, look at the small print on the plan your department approved.
What small print? Ken squinted at the plans on his clipboard.
Right there in the lower left-hand corner.
Grendel reached up with a furry finger and pointed to what looked like a tiny line of cuneiform letters. I can't read that, Ken complained.
It's in Old Norse, and more or less states that the drawings and dimensions are approximates, and it will be up to the builder to finalize details once construction starts. Nowhere on that form does it mention Old Norse cannot be used in the submission.
But Ken began to object. Then Grendel appeared to grow again, forcing Ken to stare him back down to size.
Well, regardless, there's the approval stamp on the top corner,
Grendel pointed out.
Everything is there in black and white. There's no problem here, Mr. City Employee.
We thought that note was the draftsperson's signature, Ken stated defensively, starting to feel flummoxed. However, I must point out, if you don't build to plan, you need to consult us before you finalize your details, so we can review it and, if need be, apply for a relaxation of the rules. Ken flipped through the papers on his clipboard. We only issued the building permit 2 days ago. How do you...
I was in a hurry to move in.
Grendel smiled sheepishly.
It's a long story about an unjust eviction, which is not important to get into at the moment. Needless to say, people in the Middle Ages have less tolerance than you do for the new and innovative. Anyway, how do I apply for one of these relaxations? I want to follow the local rules where possible.
You don't, Ken began to explain in an irritated tone. This is far, far, far beyond a simple relaxation. I'll make notes, take pictures, and pass the file along to our head of planning. You might even be forced to take the entire structure down. Grendel's foot tapping suddenly stopped.
Okay, I get it. Let me try another tactic. Are you open to negotiate something?
Grendel inquired with a feigned innocent smile, then added a wink. I don't like what you're implying, Mr. Grendel. Offended, Ken stepped back.
Surely we can come to some understanding,
the short man persisted. Ken felt a headache coming on. I wish I didn't have to deal with this today, he complained and tried to massage his forehead. Grendel brightened and held up a hand.
Oh, so it's wishes you want? You should have told me that right from the start. It makes things so much easier. Then it shall be wishes you get. 4, to be exact.
Ken stuttered, not sure if Grendel was joking with him or had simply lost touch with reality, the way his house had lost touch with the building codes. 4? Isn't the tradition 3 wishes? Ken finally choked out, deciding to humor the little man to see where this was going.
Oh, no, Mr. Likely. That's just in fairy tales and never works out, as we all know. 4 is the current recommended number of wishes, except in China, where 4 is a bad number. So there, it's 6, which is the closest lucky number to 4. But you must use them 2 at a time, so it's kind of like 3. You're better off with 4 singles. And I believe you have made your first request. Good luck, Mr. Likely.
Ken found himself sitting at his desk, staring at the time on his computer, which had just flipped over to 5 p.m. Where had the day gone? He wondered. Then he packed up to go. There was a rented white cargo van in Ken's neighbor's driveway when he walked by, on his way home from the bus stop. In and of itself, the rented van wasn't so unusual. What was, is that it was parked in Leaf's driveway. Ken didn't think Leaf, the aging vegan hippie next door, even had a driver's license. More unusual yet was the stack of large mirrored panels leaning against the van's side. Leaf was not a vain person, so Ken couldn't imagine why he had all the mirrors. Ken heard noises coming from the backyard. As a rule of thumb, he tried to avoid his nosy neighbor whenever he could. Interactions with Leaf inevitably led to a lecture about the dangers of saturated fats, refined sugar, and salt, Ken's favorite food groups. Then the conversation would inevitably delve down some rabbit hole, into the nature of reality, or something equally as esoteric. However, today Ken's curiosity got the better of him. He checked to make sure Planet wasn't loose in the yard. Leaf's dog had been a bit unpredictable, although as of late she seemed, well, friendly. Like somehow she had come to an understanding with him. Had they? Ken recalled a vague, unsettling memory, which he immediately dismissed. There was no such thing as a talking dog, he reminded himself. The memory was probably just the talking pet phone app that was popular at the office, mixing with his dreams, he concluded. With no planet in sight, Ken followed the noises into the backyard to discover Leaf standing on the roof of his house, positioning a row of mirrors so they reflected the sunlight onto his pyramid greenhouse, which was sitting at the center of an odd shadow. "Hey, Leaf, what's with all the mirrors?" Ken yelled. His neighbor stopped bolting in the next mirror, then looked down at Ken.
"Just adapting to environmental change, man. If you can't stop it, you gotta plan and go with the flow. Even get ahead of things, if you're picking up what I'm laying down."
No, I'm not, Ken admitted.
"Well, Chemaman, it's like this. The greenhouse is being shaded out by an unanticipated change in the local ecology. So, I've got to adapt, right? Hey, I thought you cats in the city had height restrictions or something on new homes, so they won't shade out the neighbors."
Leaf pointed across the back lane. "We do," Ken began to say, then tracked Leaf's arm to the offending shadow and back across the lane to a grotesque four-story thing which hadn't been there the day before. It was like an elastic snapped into place in his mind, making him realize the little whatever had hypnotized him and messed with his mind to put him in some type of trance to get rid of him. Ken's anger from the morning surged back. "That wasn't there 2 days ago, right? How do you build an entire house in 2 days? It's like it just zapped into existence, in all its bylaw-infringing glory." Leaf scratched his back with a screwdriver and sighed.
"Well, man, I thought Planet had explained stuff like this to you."
"Planet is a dog, Leaf." Leaf hesitated.
Sometimes it's hard to keep track. It can all seem like a weird head trip. It's easy to get spacey at times, but I work at keeping it real. Never mind, man. I guess that was a different Ken."
"What?" Ken was about to pursue the weird reference to another Ken, then thought better of it.
"Well, I guess I gotta lay this on you sometime, so don't freak."
Leaf continued scratching his back.
"The multiverse doesn't have a plot, Ken. That's why weird stuff like that house can just pop up. So-called reality is under no obligation to conform to that groovy story we all create in our heads to make sense of the world. No, man, the multiverse does what it wants, so you gotta learn how to chill and roll with it. I've got a good blend of herbal tea if you think that'll help."
No thanks, Ken said, feeling a headache coming on. Or was it the continuation of the one from the morning? He wasn't sure.
How'd that one get by the man? I thought preventing things like this was your bag, Ken.
Ken jumped. Leaf was suddenly standing beside him so close he could almost taste his neighbor's homemade, lavender-scented deodorant.
How'd you do that?
Ken complained.
Do what?
Leaf shrugged, then looked back at the roof.
Oh, that. Like I said, man, reality's a free spirit, not confined to narrative structure, man. So, what about the pad across the lane?
Apparently, we passed it. No one saw the fine print in Old Norse, which basically gave them the right to do anything they wanted. I don't like it. Ken growled as he stood, staring at the Norman Tudor hybrid atrocity. We passed it, but I sent the file to the appeal board. They can order it to be torn down. Ken screwed up his face.
Oh, I forgot to... Well, the fine print will get you every time, man. Guess that's just the way the establishment works. A real bummer.
Leaf said thoughtfully.
Other than me wishing that shadow would flake off, I'm thinking the new pad is kind of cool looking. Not boring like everything else in this neighborhood. About time we got some style. But bogarting all the sunlight, that's not cool. Two stories shorter would have done it. Whatever, the mirrors are a pretty funky solution, aren't they? Hey, you said the fine print was in Old Norse, right?
Leaf asked with sudden interest. Yeah, that's what the builder told me. I was confronting him this morning. He was an odd, short, stocky guy with orange hair. I'm guessing he's Nordic or something. A real pain to deal with, not willing to compromise, doesn't care about the neighbors. Said his name was Grendel. That's it, just Grendel. Leaf, who usually made someone just waking up from a long nap in the sun on a tropical island seem tense, was suddenly beginning to sweat. Ken rubbed his forehead, trying to massage his growing headache away. Believe me, Leaf, I wish the thing had never been built. In fact, I wish there was nothing across the lane, no house, nothing at all. Just a big, black void would be better than that. Then I wouldn't have to deal with the complaints. I wish there was nothing at all. I'm not having a great day here, Leaf. The color drained from Leaf's face.
Okay, I'm freaking out now, Kenny. Did that Grendel dude say anything about wishes?
Oh, I almost forgot about that. I think he was trying to bribe me. The man didn't make sense half the time. But what's that got to do with anything?
It's got everything to do with everything, Kenny. Oh man, I need to consult with Planet.
Your dog? Ken questioned, but Leaf was already headed into his house. I think I may have wished that I didn't have to deal with this at work today. And, well, yeah, I didn't. The day just sort of disappeared. The back door on Leaf's house slammed shut. What else did I wish for? Ken wondered to himself. Oh, right. Anxiously, he checked across the back lane, but the four-story eyesore was still there. He was sort of disappointed. Ken was arguing the finer points of consequentialist theory and utilitarianism, as it applies to the trolley problem, with Planet, who had stubbornly taken a contrarian position no doubt influenced by Kant, stating in absolute terms it was morally wrong to exploit one being to save others, when he was rudely woken by his debating partner's loud barking. Disoriented, Ken rubbed his eyes and squinted at the glowing numbers on his digital clock radio. It was 5:30 a.m. He groaned. Planet sounded like she was in Leaf's backyard, and very upset. Normally, Leaf's dog didn't bark. He heard Leaf trying to quiet her, Then a few minutes later, there was a frantic pounding on his back door. Ken threw on his housecoat and raced to the door before it was damaged. He had only replaced it 4 years ago. Through the glass, he could see Leaf, who looked as if he had just witnessed the destruction of his 8-track tape collection. He unlocked it, and his unusually excited neighbor stumbled breathlessly in.
"Hey, man," he yelled. "You gotta come see this. You've got a really bad scene going on out there, man."
"Me?" Ken questioned, as Leaf dragged him out into the dew-covered backyard, then adeptly hopped the fence. Ken couldn't fathom how the old man could still do stuff like that. He, on the other hand, was forced to scramble over. After disconnecting his housecoat from a rusty nail, which had decided to pop halfway out to make Ken's fence-scaling exercise problematic, Ken noticed Planet barking and running around the darkest shadow he had ever seen. Leaf stood respectfully back from it, beckoning Ken over. The shadow appeared to be growing slowly and had already consumed Leaf's prized bed of chamomile, which had bordered the back fence. In fact, the back fence was gone as well. Ken came up beside Leaf, distracted by the rip the obstinate nail had made in his housecoat. It had to be his favorite, of course.
"You should really fix that fence."
"I don't think it's a problem we need to address right now, Ken. We've got a more pressing issue, man."
Leaf pointed to the dark shadow, which as Ken's eyes adjusted, became obvious it was a hole, stretching across the back lane, where there was literally nothing. No ugly new house, no back lane, no fence, no chamomile. Nothing at all. Ken found a rock in one of his housecoat pockets, fingered it for a few seconds. It was his favorite stone worry bead. Worn smooth since he had put it there when he was 12. Reluctantly, he extracted it, then experimentally tossed his prized possession into the black nothingness and waited. There was no sound.
"I tried that too, man. Not with my favorite rock, though. You could have picked one up from the ground, you know. Probably a better idea. You don't know where these voids might end. So you don't want your DNA and all that jazz all over the stuff you throw in. But I guess that ship has sailed now. So you've got no choice but to be down with it. Just be prepared, man, when it comes back."
Ken looked confused as usual.
"Dude, there's no friggin' bottom, man. It's pure, unadulterated Zippo in there. So who knows where that stone will end up? And that's not good. What was the last thing you said yesterday, anyway?"
"Oh," Ken grunted. Something about, I'd rather there was nothing at all. Is that a problem?"
"Yeah, man. When a short, stocky person with orange hair and a weird accent starts talking about Thor Odin Load's wishes on you, you gotta take it serious and be careful, man. They never do it because they think you're a soulmate who needs some new threads. There's always a catch they lay on you. It's the classic con game, man. Don't you read fairy tales or myths? Wishes are always open to interpretation, so they never turn out how you expected, no matter how exactamundo you think you got them locked down."
Ken shrugged, then skittled back a bit to keep away from the expanding pit of nothingness.
"I thought the guy was just being facetious," Ken admitted. "You get a lot of attitude when you have to confront builders and homeowners who don't want to follow the rules. But it's important to call their bluffs, otherwise there'd be chaos on the street."
"Like the neighborhood being swallowed by a void?"
Leaf noted sarcastically.
"You've got a good point there, Leaf."
"Okay, man. Planet and I forgive you, but you gotta flip and put that behind you. You gotta concentrate and remember. How many wishes did the little guy grant you, and how many do you have left?"
4, I think.
You think? Ken, this is not the time to lay a trip on me. Be precise, man. This is heavy stuff.
4, maybe. No, I'm sure. And I've used 2 or 3 at most. Leaf relaxed.
You hear that, Planet? He's got at least 1 left. 4. Wow, that's very now. But it's still a bad number in some cultures. Okay, Kenny, my man. Now you gotta get tight on your request. Think about how what you're laying down could be picked up by some ancient egghead in ways you'd never expect. Go ahead, spend some time mentalizing before you go all ape on it. Just don't take too long. I'd like to see my heirloom tomatoes survive.
Ken ignored Leaf and panicked. I wish...
No! Rule the situation, man. Before you...
Leaf yelled in desperation, and Planet started to bark, but they were too late. I wish everything was as it was yesterday, Ken blurted out.
Really, man? That's it? What do you think, Planet? Are we good? Are we copacetic here?
Planet wagged her tail. It was like waking up from a dream. Ken found himself staring blankly at his clipboard. Grendel, the obstinate homeowner, was jabbing a stubby finger covered in a fine layer of orange hair at a footnote in the bottom left corner of the plans. Ken sighed. Really, Mr. Grendel, I just wish you had conformed to the building codes. The odd little man smiled and said,
Easily arranged. I'm glad you finally came to your senses. A wise last wish. It's done.
So you'll be taking the top 2 stories off and cutting the front back so you're not overhanging the public sidewalk? Ken confirmed hopefully. Grendel laughed.
There's no need. Go back to your little cubicle, Mr. Suitman, and check your codes. You'll discover I'm in complete compliance. Goodbye, Mr. City Guy!
Grendel waved from his balcony. Ken stood, puzzled, over how the little man had gotten up there so fast. Then slapped himself in the forehead.
Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. To listen to other great APN podcasts, such as Emily Missed Out or Creative Block, please head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. This episode was brought to you by Park Power, a provider of electricity and natural gas in Alberta that offers low rates, awesome service, and profit sharing with local charities. In Alberta, you get to choose who to buy your energy from. Park Power has low overhead, and chances are you'll save money if you switch. You can find out how much money you would save by visiting parkpower.ca and plugging your numbers into the Alberta Energy Savings Calculator. If you decide to switch, it's easy. Nothing changes about your service, only the price you pay. Learn more at parkpower.ca. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month, around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Opening and closing theme, Magical Mystery by 8th Mode Music, is licensed from Audio Jungle on a music mass reproduction license. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.